Join Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin on the Capital Ideas Podcast. It's your look inside one of the world's most experienced active investment managers. Invest 30 minutes in an episode today. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Capital Client Group, Inc.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Yeah, so I don't know if you're aware of this. Oasis apparently going to be playing in Croke Park soon. That's them. They're back together. It has something to do with Noel's divorce. With me is, well, we knew, I always hoped that he would join the program, because the reason that I have to get up on Sunday morning is because he decided that he didn't want to do it anymore. And I thought it'll obviously be of some major story that will be the reason that Gavin Riley joins us on the program. Little did I know this would be it. Gavin, good morning.
Good morning, Anton. How are you?
You're an Oasis super fan.
I'll tell you who needs a little bit of time to wake up, wake up. That's the Ticketmaster infrastructure this Saturday morning. Now, I come to you bearing glad tidings, because literally in the 5 minutes while Joel Caulfield, who I also, by the way, is an Oasis super fan himself, while I was listening to his voice on the news, my sister-in-law, who's also been navigating this whole thing, Nicola's down in Kilkenny and has managed to get two tickets for the pitch for the Sunday night. Now, granted... Now, and I have to say this with a caveat, because I will fully admit I'm enough of a super fan that I will happily pay this much and repay her for the tickets. The only ones that she was able to get after navigating the queue, and I think when she joined it, she was number 40,000 or somewhere about that. The only tickets she was able to get getting on in the last 5 minutes were premium tickets for the pitch for 475 odd euro plus booking fees. Now, I don't know what else is in each. And I don't know what else is entailed in the premiumness other than probably somebody giving you a thimble of warm Prosecco and some kind of laminated lanyards to say that you were there and that you're a mug and you paid it. Again, fully hands up, will fully admit, I will pay her for it. But that's all that appears to be left. Like, for pig iron's sake, I said I would put my hand in and see could I try for one of the Wembley dates. And right now, if you go to Ticketmaster UK, you get something called Error 503, which other cyber geek nerds will recognize is basically where the server has buckled over and it's not responding to any queries at all. So this entire thing has been a monumental infrastructural disaster. Just again, for further illustration, when I got onto the queue myself at 8 o'clock this morning to try and get some of the Croke Park tickets, I was 50 something thousand in the queue. And it began to plummet in the last 20 or 25 minutes because a lot of people were getting on and finding either literally nothing or only those ridiculous premium tickets that they simply weren't prepared to fork out for. 10 minutes ago, just before even the producer rang to make sure that I was okay to do this, I was 4,500 in the queue and I literally have not moved. I've still got the window open here in front of me. And I haven't moved in the queue for 10 minutes because I suspect now that the UK tickets have just gone on sale as well, 2 for Cardiff, 2 for Edinburgh, 5 for London, 5 for Manchester, the Ticketmaster infrastructure has literally just stopped working. And I suspect right now no one is getting anywhere.
So just for point of clarity for my own understanding, we went on sale, as in Ireland went on sale, an hour before the UK, which I assume yes. Therefore means that if you are a big UK fan of Oasis and you want to try to get tickets, you'll hedge your bets by trying to get tickets to the Irish gig before you get tickets. So we end up competing with the UK market and possibly everywhere else in the world, as well as everybody who wants tickets in Ireland.
Yeah, and it's the everyone else in the world, I think, is probably the overlooked bit, because there'd be so many fans in North America who haven't yet got clarity about their dates, although there are some leaks about what might be entailed. And of course, fans all over Europe who might decide that the idea of competing against the entire British population for dates in Manchester or London is a non-runner, and who might think, because they are Egypts who have never clearly researched hotel prices in this country, might think that it's possible to come to Dublin and maybe get to see them at some point on the tour before they go onwards. So, yeah, the fact that the Irish tickets went on sale an hour earlier in principle means that you might have the entire world competing with the Irish audience to get those tickets. But at least it does also mean now, apparently, given the way the infrastructure has worked out, that at least the Irish people had a clear run of Ticketmaster, albeit at a crawl, before the whole thing now ground to a halt at 9 o'clock, when about a million or so British tickets went on sale at the same time.
Now, at 9 o'clock, it was slightly remarkable that we had a news bulletin, because our entire newsroom had been transfixed for the preceding 90 minutes, all trying to get tickets on Ticketmaster. Bella Finn from the newsroom is with us now. I have never, Bella, in my entire life, engaged with Ticketmaster in any way, shape or form. I think maybe once I got something in the Bordgosh Energy Theatre. But this was the first time that I had seen this, you know, queue for tickets thing. I think the technical term is thundering shambles.
It was quite dramatic, I have to say. So I was steadfast, logged in at 7:30. I tried to be clever. I had two accounts, so I have two different emails. I had one open on the desktop, one open on the phone. The phone was having none of it, as per usual. Anyone who uses Ticketmaster knows that it's very hard luck on the phone. It, whether it's engaging with trying to keep up with Wi-Fi, whether it's, you know, conflict with your 4G or whatever network you're on, it doesn't like it. And I was in a really, really good spot. So Gavin just said that he was 40-odd thousand in the queue. I was 11,000, which was really, really good and was quite impressive compared to everyone else at the desks who was trying this morning. And moved quite quickly, got in, had tickets, €176 each for the Hogan stand on the lower. Had two tickets, tried for four, because four is the maximum amount of tickets that you can get for any one event. And I already had friends texting me saying, dibs that, dibs this. You know, I was really popular this morning. My popularity has declined since, because as I went to purchase the tickets, error message came up. And that was the end of the Oasis stream. And I got kicked out. And then when I was put back in the queue, I was 500,000 in queue for tickets.
Now, I was watching all this happen, and simultaneously, a number of your colleagues were also trying. And every now and then people would say, oh, I've been kicked out again. Like, this is normal, that you get in a queue and then Ticketmaster says, tough luck, you're now another 100,000 people behind where you were previously. Is this how it always works?
Well, I seem to be unfortunately lucky. I'm cursed when it comes to Ticketmaster. I've never been very successful. I have friends who are very successful. I did warn lovely producer Aoife that I was cursed this morning before I even tried, and I lived up to my reputation, and I was not so lucky. But no, that seems to be Ticketmaster. It crashes all the time. I had a similar experience trying to get tickets for Taylor Swift. I didn't win on that front either. Again, I had to rely on the luck of my friend who fought that war for us instead. But yeah, that's how it seems to go. And when pre-sale is obviously the new hottest thing that everyone is doing to deal with demand, and it's to try and take some of the heat off of Ticketmaster the morning of in general sale, that seems to be the only way to have a good chance to get a ticket.
And BBC News last night reporting the pre-sale tickets going for £6,000.
Yeah.
£6,000.
Yeah.
Twitter alight with people saying you're in a queue and then they're getting dropped back to 560 something thousand in the queue, or that when you get through the queue, you get to choose your tickets and then what they're getting is ticket purchase blocked and so on and so forth. A lot of deeply aggrieved people. Gavin, can you explain this to me? Because it's not like Ticketmaster does this as a side gig and a bit of a hobby away from their main job. This is their thing, surely.
Yeah. And this is the thing. And like, Bella is totally right that, like, obviously with the pre-sale, it's kind of intended to take some of the heat out of it. But I think the formula as generated by, or mastered by Taylor Swift, is that it's almost kind of created this kind of self-perpetuating momentum now, where the fact that there's a pre-sale means that instead of there being, you know, items like this on the radio on a Saturday morning where tickets have just gone on sale and some people are happy and some people aren't, you get that multiple times, that the pre-sale then becomes the original drop. So then people suddenly get FOMO. And then if there's another ticket drop the following day, then suddenly there's this cycle of publicity and people want to get in for fear of missing out on a big societal occasion that they don't otherwise get. But yeah, I mean, you'd have to say, well, there's two things to it. There's obviously, firstly, that Ticketmaster, while this is their main gig, the idea of putting a million tickets for Cardiff and Murrayfield and Wembley and Heaton Park and Croke Park, you know, talking about 1.2 or 1.3 million tickets and putting them all on sale in the space of about an hour, it is going to be one of those kind of crest of a wave black swan events where the demand so surpasses what is available. And this sort of thing obviously is not necessarily par for the course. One other point which is worth making about all of this, though,
hang on for a minute. If you're Ticketmaster and you are flogging, I don't know, Taylor Swift, or you are flogging Elton John's final tour, you're still dealing with millions of tickets that are going on sale and worldwide global demand. And surely the system of a queue can't be outside the bounds of the capacity of man to just organise.
Well, of course, they would tell you that, in fact, that capacity is working, because I'm still sitting in front, you know, in the midst of all this. We're now 75 minutes in front of a queue, and I've got four devices open in front of me. One of them is still 3,693 in the queue. Another one is 37,000. Another one is 42,000. And another one is 67,000. So at least in principle, the queue is actually functional and working. You know, I said to you when I was talking to you 5 minutes ago that I hadn't budged. I have moved 500 spaces closer to the front of the queue in the time that Bella was talking to you about her Instagram or her Ticketmaster malaise this morning. So at least it is functional. I suppose the fact that the British tickets have gone on sale in the meantime means that things are creaking just a little bit. The one point that I was going to make, though, and I think it relates to the change in the law in the last couple of years, prohibiting the sale of tickets above face value. Obviously, the promoters have now become wise to the fact that there are some eejits, you know, and I put my hand up and say that I'm one of them, who, if push came to shove, would happily pay hundreds for a standing ticket because they just want to be there, because it's something they've waited years to finally happen. And what they've done now is basically absorb that into the face price as it is. So my sister-in-law, who I mentioned, the heroine who has gotten all these sorted down in Kilkenny, has sent me on a screen grab of what she was able to get. And I mentioned that they might have been premium tickets with a thimble of Prosecco and a lanyard or something. In fact, they're not. They are what they call in-demand standing tickets, which is to say the Ticketmaster has estimated this is what the market value of them with supply versus demand actually is. And each of those tickets costs €415.50 plus the service charge of €22. So actually, I'm going to hop on Revolut after I'm off this call and pay my sister-in-law €875 for two standing tickets that don't even come with a lanyard or someone giving you a ceremonial tattoo to say this person is a mug who's parted with half of a mortgage payment because they wanted to be here for one night.
You're going to spend nearly €1,000 for you and your better half to stand on the pitch in Croke Park and listen to Liam and Noel Gallagher.
And to have somebody throw two-thirds of a pint of soggy Heineken over me as soon as they walk out to a song whose name I can't repeat this side of the watershed. And would happily do it because I'm the person who had tickets to go and see Liam Gallagher in Nebworth 2 or 3 years ago, and then my kid got sick the night before and we couldn't fly. I was going to see Liam at every solo date that he's done in Dublin. We went to see BDI, going to see Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds. I went to go and see them in Slane when they had the bus catastrophe in 2009 on the tour that they never finished because they broke up in Paris like 2 weeks later. Someone got me a ticket for The Point for 1996, and I was supposed to be brought by an older cousin who was above the age threshold and then couldn't go because a family holiday was booked for it. This has been my entire life. I mean, my wife's sitting here with a bucket hat on her for the moment that it is, and I don't mind looking her in the eye and saying that actually the last 38 years on the planet have been leading up to Oasis coming back together. She's assenting here beside me. Like I know the kids have been born and all that, and we had the marriage, but honest to God, being on the pitch when Oasis are coming out again, like, might be one of the top five dates, like, in a life's memory, if it happens. Because, you know, they might haul out again before next August if it happens. So I'm one of those people who will happily pay the money. But I just do think it is worth noting that Ticketmaster have kind of factored in the fact that now that because you can't have a touts market, or at least there isn't supposed to be, that they will basically price it up and realise that there is a demand out there and say, well, rather than some tout getting £500 or £1,000 for a ticket, why wouldn't the Ticketmaster just charge it themselves? And I think it's just a point worth noting that they've absorbed that into the legitimate model now.
While your wife sits beside you, you said the sentence, the kids have been born and we had the marriage, but this is one of the...
And she's
you're a
at
catch,
she's
Gavin.
Giving me a thumbs up. She's like, yeah, fully agree. Yeah, completely.
Gavin, lovely to talk to you. Thank you very much for coming on. Bella, before I let you go, the one bit in all of this, Gavin is clearly misguided in his thinking, but you're a more grounded person. Why the massive fandom for Oasis? This I don't get.
Well, I won't look back in anger what they put us through this morning. Had to plug that in there at some point. But I think it's their music has transcended generation at this point. There's new fans. And I think it's the part to be part of the history that they're back together. So Gavin's saying that he saw them together. He's seen them separately. Some people have never seen them together at all. They weren't born, you know, and this is their chance, their one chance. And as he mentioned, you know, will they even make it to Croke Park next summer? We don't know. But if they do, this is the one chance in history for it to happen. And there was a little bit of elbow shoving over the past week of the news. You know, well, true fans should get to go and new fans don't get to. And one of the theories or the alleged pieces about the pre-sale was that there was a form you had to fill out. You'd put in your date of birth and you had to answer a couple of questions. So one was, you know, who was the original drummer? Have you ever seen them in concert before? So it's uncertain to know whether that whole piece for the pre-sale was trying to maybe diversify the crowd and have a selection of new and old fans in there. We'll never know. But it does show that they are well-loved.
Well, you're not alone. I got a text from one of our colleagues who should remain nameless saying, I was 468,706 in the queue when I joined at 8, and my friends and I are now all in the queue for Wembley and Manchester, and a whole load of people saying similar things. Why no extra nights if there's 500,000 in the queue for each night? Why can't they just use people's IP addresses to identify if they're from the same region that the tickets are on sale, i.e. Ireland, and only allow purchases from there, and so on and so forth. A lot of people aggrieved at Ticketmaster. Where's Blur when you need them?
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Join Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin on the Capital Ideas Podcast. It's your look inside one of the world's most experienced active investment managers. Invest 30 minutes in an episode today. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Capital Client Group, Inc.